Hey, welcome back everyone to another broadcast of In the Trenches. Today, I get to sit down with Danny Flood, who you may recognize from In the Trenches episode 82, which was, as we were talking offline before we hit recording, before we hit record, 8 years ago. So it makes me realize I've been doing this podcasting thing for a long time, and just crazy to think that's just a long time. That's a long time. So Danny, what have you been up to? Give us a quick summary of where you've been in those 8 years. Last time you were on, we were talking about location independent businesses. You're still location independent. You're still doing that. You're also doing a lot of side hustles. So I know we'll get into all that. But for the listeners who are new, this is their first episode. They maybe haven't listened to In the Trenches 82. Give us a quick kind of bio and who you are.
Yeah, well, 8 years can seem like a long time, but it can also go by in a flash, right? Would like to say that I'm still just as good looking and young and spry and fit as I was back then. Haven't lost a single bounce in my step. So I believe that when we spoke last time, I was in Bangkok, Thailand, living in Southeast Asia. I was one of the first people to start living the location independent lifestyle like 15 years ago. Before I had ever heard of the thing called digital nomad, I was about to graduate from university, and I went to the Art Institute, so I got an advertising degree. This was after I went in the military, just like yourself. And they were preparing me for, 40 years of servitude, wearing a tie and going to an office and stuff. And I had like quarter-life depression, and I picked up a four-hour work week, and I saw the guys in a hammock, in the South Pacific or something like this. So I was like, all right, this is my new MBA program here. So that's kind of how I started out way back in like 2008 or 2009. I just had a whole bunch of dreams, and I've been plugging away ever since. So I started out, I think you interviewed me in like 2016. So I was on the road for some time by that point. And I worked with a lot of clients. I had an agency that I was running online, and I was able to automate a lot of it. And because I've always been into like life hacking and lifestyle design, working smarter, not harder, I got into growth hacking. So growth hacking is where you find like the secret competitive advantages in online marketing, and you use them and exploit them to get results, to get a lot of money, because marketing is a tough practice. And when I started writing books, I started writing ebooks and launching them on Amazon. I probably have a dozen books. I was making less than a McDonald's worker, and I was like, damn, I'm trying everything, but it's like, well, how do I make this work? And so I tried like every kind of marketing thing. I followed all the instructions, all the advice, and I just like kept failing. So I was like, all right, I'm going to fail more. I'm going to double my rate of failure again and again and again. And eventually I kind of like built out a growth hacking agency from all of the stuff I was learning. And so I had like a fully automated agency. Like I was using software, growth hacking stuff. And I had around 50 clients where we were like automating all their social media on Twitter, Instagram, and all this back in the good old days when you could follow like 1,200 accounts every day. I was like making money hand over fist and working like 1 hour, 2 hours a day for like 3 years, traveling all around working. And then eventually I got slapped by Instagram. They're like, all right, no more botting, back in like 2018 or something. But fortunately around that time, I started working with AppSumo. I think you interviewed Noah Kagan, the founder.
Yep.
And they started featuring a lot of my products on their website. So I made a lot of money with AppSumo. And I decided to package a lot of the stuff that I know into courses and information products. So I probably launched about like 10 courses on there and made like six figures in the first half of last year, I want to say.
Nice.
And so, yeah, and I have some other side hustles that I want to talk about, but I don't want to give it all an introduction. So,
no,
yeah.
Yeah, no, this is great. So, well, I got to ask, with the AppSumo thing, you said that was from last year, six figures last year, we'll say. So was that from, were you bringing the audience, or was that just because AppSumo is such a good like user base, you were able to tap into the existing like audience that's like already using that platform and buying deals?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have a story. Like when they first contacted me, I got an email from Chris Shelzy. He works at AppSumo. He's like a director. And the email subject line said like AppSumo promotion to 1 million entrepreneurs. Like that was the subject headline. So at that point they had like a million people on their email list. And that was a pretty good attention grabbing email. And so that's when they first published my book on their website by reaching out to me. That was the book, Dr. Growth. It's a book about growth hacking, where I teach all the stuff I've learned running my agency. And they eventually came back to me. They're like, well, why don't you do a course? And so I did a course, and then I did a few other courses, and then ended up building this whole website, schoolofgrowthhacking.com. And what I learned is that AppSumo, just like any platform, like crowdfunding platforms like Kickstarter or a platform like Amazon, you have to know how the algorithm works and how they promote the products. So with AppSumo, for example, they have a whole system where they will promote your deal based on how many reviews you have. So at this time, like 2024, it's pretty easy to submit your deal to AppSumo. And if you get it approved, you basically want to get like your first 25 reviews right away. And then you can get into their newsletter. You can also get onto their Facebook page. And you can also get onto their homepage as well. And that's when you get the big spike in sales. And so there's like an actual process you can follow. And it's kind of the same with every single platform, big platform that you launch on. Because if you're launching on Kindle, for example, I think you've launched a couple of books, right? So yeah. You know that if you get like a certain number of downloads in the first week or something, you'll get to the number one bestseller, more people will discover your book, and you will start getting a lot of sales from Amazon as well, from people you don't know. So if you can just like, you know, get people, send people to the product, get a bunch of reviews, then you can pretty much make pretty good money.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. So like, again, you probably kind of quote unquote growth hacking in that capacity, you bring maybe some of the energy, catalyze some of the audience and get them to buy and leave reviews of the course on AppSumo, and then kind of like try to like do the whole like snowball type effect, kind of where it just grows and grows from there by capturing the kind of the trend line, so to speak.
Yeah, and there's kind of like a process to it, and I kind of have like it mapped out to a certain extent. And it's just like any kind of launch, and I actually have a course on my site called Launch Lab where I go in detail on all this stuff. But you basically want to send as much traffic to it. You want to launch like at a very low price initially, and get as many reviews, like review copies as possible. And then you increase the price. And there's some other tricks, like with AppSumo especially, you can do like a countdown timer when the deal like runs out, and you'll get a big spike in sales from the countdown timer. Because they will also put your product on the homepage. It'll say like ending soon, and you'll get a huge spike in sales and traffic. What's really interesting with AppSumo in particular, it doesn't actually end the deal. It doesn't always end the deal. Like you can just increase the price by like $10 or something. So it can be like $9.99, and then you get a countdown timer, and then you increase by like $10. And then you do another countdown timer, and then you increase by like another $10. So you can keep, you know, getting more traffic and sales that way. And then, of course, if you get in a number of reviews, like 25 reviews, then you can be featured in the newsletter. You get a huge spike in sales. So I was doing that and making pretty good money. And that is how I launched my side project, School of Growth Hacking. And that wasn't even my main business, but made pretty good money from that business. And I was traveling around Europe at the time. So I was traveling around Europe for 7 months. I went all over Central Europe and Eastern Europe. And I arrived in Greece and I left in Greece, and the Greek people just treated me like family, even though I was a stranger to them. Like they invite me to their home, they were cooking for me and stuff like this. And so one of these guys invited me, like I was going out to the countryside, and he's like, why don't you just stay at this place? It's empty. I have this, you know, big villa overlooking the ocean. And so I was there by myself for like 10 days. And just like this, I was like, wow, this is the nicest place I've ever stayed in my life. And I had this idea that I wanted to open this place up for remote workers. And so I kind of ended up launching like this co-living space there in Greece, which was kind of another side hustle while I was doing all the AppSumo and the course
stuff. What year was that?
So that just began 1 year ago.
Oh, okay.
I was there a year and a half ago, and we did a co-living in March of last year, and then September and October of last year as well. So it's pretty cool, right? So I get this free place to stay with this big property. I get to invite a bunch of like remote workers and entrepreneurs. There was six of us in total, and for a month, and just get to live in paradise. So like I had this vision, like I wanted to, like I heard of all these like homes that they were giving away, like in Italy or something. And I was like, wow, it'd be such a dream, like to just, you know, live in one of these little Mediterranean countryside towns, you know, where you just ride a bike around, you're drinking wine and eating good food and swimming in the sea. And then it just kind of manifested it. And I didn't have to, like, you know, buy any property or anything. It's so I'm going to be going back there in 2 weeks. I'm in Istanbul, Turkey now.
Nice.
And I'll go back to Greece for another month. And then I'm actually organizing another one in Nepal, because I was in Nepal for 2 months last year as well. And I love Nepal. And I actually used ChatGPT to help me build up that stuff as well. So it's pretty cool.
What did you charge for the Greece in-person events, and how many people did you have join you?
Well, initially I wasn't really, I mean, cause this was a totally new business for me. So my vision was that I wanted to create something that was quite affordable. So it's about 600 euro per person. So we have six rooms. So you do the math, and that's for 1 month. And we will do like some, we take like some trips together. We will have like some workshops and stuff. So I sometimes teach workshops on like growth hacking and AI when I travel. So when I go to a new city, I will like go to co-working spaces and I'll often do like these workshops. And that for a long time, I got a lot of clients and connections that way. And so for the one in Nepal, that's a little bit different because we have a big yoga center. And it's $9.99 for 1 month. And that includes like meals and yoga workshops and things like this.
It's not bad.
So my vision, no, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, I'm like, what am I doing? Okay. I got kids. I can't do the nomad lifestyle anymore, but maybe for
a month you can join us.
Yeah,
or
right.
For a few weeks.
I mean, that's a pretty killer deal, like really.
Yeah. And so we have in total, there's like 45 rooms at the yoga center. We're going to be doing that for 2 months in May and June. And nice. I have about 25 rooms each month that I'm looking to fill. So they're about half full at the moment. I'm working on filling those.
How are you filling those rooms right now? Like, how have you gotten your early adopters, so to speak, or your first like 10 or 12 sales so far to fill those rooms?
Yeah, that's a great question. So most of it's been through like social media, like Facebook or Reddit. But initially I was able to just use like ChatGPT to help me build out my ideas and stuff. So, that's one reason why I love like this time we're living in right now, especially 2024, is that it's so easy to just bring your idea to life and just put it out into the world and get a bunch of signups, get a bunch of leads. So I used ChatGPT initially. I said like, look, I want to do what I'm doing in Greece, but for Nepal. And so I basically took like everything I had from Greece, I like copied and pasted in ChatGPT, and it like, you know, wrote all of the posts for me. It wrote like all the marketing for me. Like I had like a welcome guide that I sent to people when they come to Greece. And then it made that for Nepal. So basically like after like, you know, like an hour or something, I had all of the marketing material set up. And then I went to Reddit and I just posted all of my pictures from Nepal. And I got like maybe 300 comments on that post. And then I posted in some other groups, like in some digital nomad groups on Facebook, like Digital Nomad Hub. And I'm looking at the post now. I got like 600 comments on that one. And another.
I'm sorry. What platform? You got 600 comments on what platform was it?
I can share my screen.
Yeah.
I know for those watching YouTube, I'll just show that really quickly. So
yeah, and then for those who are listening, we'll just kind of like explain what we're seeing.
So there's a bunch of groups like on Facebook, right? So
okay.
This is just a simple post I made, and I just posted a lot of the pictures I took when I was there. So the nice thing about selling something like a nomad retreat, the content often sells itself. So if I have really good photos and videos, that's enough to generate a lot of leads. So this is the post that I made, and it had like, you can see 32 shares, and then close to 2,000 likes. And then here's all the comments and stuff. So I got a lot of leads just from posts like that.
Wow.
For free.
So this is a Facebook group that you've been a part of for how long?
No idea. I have probably like a list of like 400 of these groups. So I just like randomly post all of them.
Okay. So I was kind of curious, like how much energy do you put into engagement, so to speak, on these groups? Or are you just kind of like randomly posting whenever? Like, give me a little context for that. Because for somebody who's listening, wants to use this strategy, for instance, like, oh, how much time and effort do they have to put into like being a part of these groups on Facebook, for instance?
I have the Zoom menu like coming over my tabs here, so I apologize for that. But I basically automated also. You see, I have this list of like digital nomad groups, and I can create like a list of hundreds of groups from any niche. using my growth hacking software. So I will just tell it to post to all of these different groups. And I just prepare the post once and then I schedule it out. So it'll post to ones like this one, this co-livings and retreats around the globe. So I pretty much put like almost no effort into it. I create the post and I add a whole bunch of like spin syntaxes. So the spin syntaxes make sure that it's a little bit different every time. So you can see like this post will be a little bit different than this one. Like it says here, for example, namaste guys. Here it says hello guys. So you can see like how it just changes a little bit. I'm a permanent traveler for around 14 years. I'm a full-time world traveler for about 14 years. So that's what I do is I just basically put all of these spin syntaxes. And then I give the tool, it's, if you want to check it out, it's called SuSocial, susocial.com. And it runs on a server and it can schedule out to all of the groups that you tell it to. So it connects all the groups that you're in. And so basically I just put the post in there once and then I say like post it to 300 groups that are like digital nomad groups or whatever. And it'll just go to work. And I'll tell it maybe post like 3 or 4 per day or something. So it's nothing too crazy. And basically like that's pretty much how I did it. I basically like I can just take the whole post, like copy the post and then put it in ChatGPT and let's say like I want to do something like this, but for Japan or something. And then it'll just write the post for me for Japan. And using my software, I can do a lot of like automated marketing stuff to get a lot of leads for that. So with the retreats, like it's really easy to get a lot of leads if you have good content.
Yeah. And through this particular strategy is how you got, say, like your first like 10 signups, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. So just some organic methods. And I went to Reddit / r digital nomad, I think. Digital nomad or digital nomads. And there's like 4 million people in that subreddit, just over 2 million, I guess. And so I had around 300 comments. I was basically just trying to verify my idea and validate it. So I think that's really the most important step is just validating the idea. And then you got to figure out how do I build the business around it, you know? So initially when I was in Nepal last year, I was looking on like Airbnb to try to find like a good venue to host all these people. And I couldn't really find anything on Airbnb. So I was just like walking around and they have a whole bunch of yoga centers. And so I found this place with like a pool and, you know, like we have a big dining room and there's like 5 stories of this place and there's like rice fields down below and the lake off in the distance. And then you got the Himalayas all behind you. So that's it's sweet. Like, you know, this is perfect for people to just come and, you know, work on their laptop. Why stay in Baltimore or Pittsburgh, you know, when you can be here?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, it's when my wife and I were traveling, we did we did a couple meetups. We did like she hosted like a yoga retreat and we did it in Thailand. And kind of just again, it's one of those things. It's like, well, we're traveling through there anyway. It's like, let's organize this and let's bring people to it. And it was such a great time. It's like for me, I'm like, it feels like a lifetime ago. But I love hearing these stories because I'm like, yeah, there's, you know, travel and this kind of stuff is so near and dear to my heart. Because I was traveling probably around the same time you were, maybe a little bit after, like 2013 is when I got out of the army and then started traveling. And we traveled 13, 14, and 15, basically, before we came back to the States. Or we were kind of in and out, but just traveling everywhere. And I just, yeah, it's near and dear to my heart. You're talking about Greece. I never made it to Greece, but like we did Italy and Tuscany was one of those places where I'm like, oh, man. I just need to buy a villa, you know, or a vineyard here and just, you know, write and look out the window and see this city on a mountaintop and just enjoy life. But that's the cool part is like today, especially now, and this is, you know, that was like, what, 7 years before COVID, right? And it's like before, like everybody kind of went online and went remote. But now it's like, it feels like it's even more, I know there's been a big push to get people back in the office and all that, but it does feel like there's more remote workers than ever. So I feel like you're in a good spot to capitalize on this. And again, I would say to myself, I'm like, yeah, if I saw it, I'd be like, well, why not go spend a month there? It's like you said, that was food, living, and like for $1,000. It's like that's cheaper than living in the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man. Like yeah. How do I live on that in the States? I can't. It's like that's the cool part is the geo arbitrage. In one way, that was one of my favorite things, like going to Southeast Asia. Sorry, that's a lot of thoughts.
I got a taste of it. Yeah, I mean, I got a taste of it, and I was like, "Wow, I'm never going back." Right. You know, initially, I was in like South America for like 4 months. I was in Argentina, Brazil, and Chile. And then I came back for a few months to San Diego, to California. And then I went to Southeast Asia for 6 months. And so my trips just became, they kept getting longer and longer until I just finally decided I'm not going to come back, you know? So it's just been a one-way ticket.
Yeah, it's funny because I know for those who probably haven't traveled, one, there's probably a large group of people who just have not really traveled abroad, we'll say. And then, or at least maybe if they've traveled abroad, maybe they've done like a vacation, you know, kind of scenario, like 1 or 2 weeks or something like that. Maybe it's like, you know, if it's Mexico, then it's what is it typically to like some sort of resort, kind of all-inclusive type thing. And so I think the idea of travel is very scary to a lot of people. And I know when I was first, I was a little, and I say that because I was, when I first bought the tickets, like we bought round the world tickets. Like now I wouldn't do it that way. I would just pick. And the second time around we picked our spots and just bought tickets as we went. But the first time I was like, well, no, I'm going to buy around the world tickets. I'm going to pick all my locations beforehand and I'm going to invest this amount of money. And it's going to get me from here to these 10 locations and back. And, but there was a lot of trepidation for me going into that. And then once you get into it and you realize you warm up to it, you're like, oh, wait a second. This is extremely manageable. Like the world is organized in a way and it's so connected in a way that this stuff is actually, it's not as perilous as you would think it would be. And then once you get into it, you're like, oh man, there's so many perks to this, right?
It's not easy to reverse a lifetime of social conditioning, you know, overnight, but it's kind of like the feeling like you become like a kid again because you're like a babe. You land in Thailand and then exactly. You land in Thailand and you can rent a motorcycle for the day for like $4, you know, or something like this. And it's like I just remember that feeling, like that high, you know, and I'm jealous of people that get to experience it for the first time. Like they get to a new culture. It's like a festival for the senses. And I think you know this, like in the military, they talk about like the different states of awareness or whatever. And like they have like color codes, like, you know, the white state, the yellow state, the red state, the black state. And so basically, I'm not going to go through it, but basically like a lot of us are living in the white state, you know, where we're kind of just like sleepwalking through life, like looking at our phones and then we walk into a street sign or something. But when you travel, like suddenly all of your senses kind of light up and you notice things and the food tastes fresher. And if you haven't experienced that, you definitely got to experience that.
I 100% agree. And now in my life, I'm like, well, how do I do that with my kids? Like that is my next adventure. I'm not ready for it yet, but like, that's the next big thing. It's like, we were planning to go to Spain this year and then, another pregnancy, another child. And that's a great, great thing. and then maybe next year we're looking at like Spain or Portugal and doing something like nice and easy, you know, Europe and simple, you know, as much as I'd love to go back to Southeast Asia, I'm like, well, I'll hold off on that for a minute.
There are a lot of people, you know, traveling with families if you're looking for inspiration, but
yes,
I will say that my style, like I never plan everything out in advance because things just have a way of working out. It's like Marcus Aurelius said, you know, don't let yourself be troubled by the future. You'll meet it with the same, you know, weapons of reason that guard you against the present. So I typically travel on one-way tickets and I can save a lot of money just by like travel hacking, for example. So I told you I was in Nepal last year and I was planning to visit a few countries like Dubai and Oman, you know, Middle East. And I was able to save like hundreds of dollars on my accommodation when I was in Dubai because I was using ChatGPT to send out pitches to people on like these house sitting websites.
Cool.
So you can go to a website like Trusted House Sitters. And when people travel, they need someone to like take care of their plants or to take care of their pets. So I just sent out like, I use ChatGPT to like write out my whole house sitting profile, like talk about how good I am with animals, how much I love pets and blah, blah, blah. And the thing is like, if you're using Couchsurfing or Trusted House Sitters, you're supposed to like read their whole profile before you send out the pitch. But I was like copying the whole profile and putting a ChatGPT to like write a personalized pitch to this person. And so like people are like giving me compliments by like the really nice pitches I was sending out to people. because like I would send out like, you know, use ChatGPT to send out like 10 of these pitches. And then maybe like two or three will write back to me the same day. And then I will like, you know, have a get on like WhatsApp and have a call with them and stuff like that. So when I got to Dubai, like I had this beautiful condo, you know, in the Emirates Towers. The first night I arrived, I was there for more than 2 weeks. with a pool and a gym and sauna and everything, and like a
Dude.
little Zen living room. So yeah,
Yes.
all for free. So not too bad, right?
That's awesome. I love that kind of travel hacking. Like that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So then, and while you're doing this, obviously you're building all these side hustles. It's really interesting too, kind of coming back to the AppSumo thing. Like I looked at that when they first started the marketplace, and it's just one of those things I didn't have the time to focus on it. I just had too many plates already spinning. But I remember thinking like, man, I should get some products on here. And it's really cool to see you've done that. And so what, tell me, so some of these other projects that you're working on, you're doing the in-person events. That's one of the next big ones coming up. You're still doing the courses. Do you still run the agency or no, not anymore?
I'm at a point where I don't really need to work with clients because I have enough income coming in from different things.
Yeah.
But I will say like, and it's strange to me because like the new group of digital nomads, new generation, like where can I go to find a remote job, or how can I get the right VPN so my boss doesn't know I'm in Antarctica, you know, whatever. So it's
funny.
Like they have no like entrepreneurial drive. Like it's this young generation where they just want like a safe job and you know, like show up to the Zoom calls, and it's strange to me because I'm like totally the you know, the entrepreneurial gene runs in my veins, you know. So I pretty much, like, if people ask me how I support myself, I work on projects that are interesting to me, and if it's not interesting, I just tend to lose interest. And I've actually been playing around a lot with AI, and you know, I did some products, like a course on AI, and I have some partnerships, like with our friend Jonathan, some white label partnerships, and I've been building out like a lot of like domains just using AI. You know, sometimes I'll buy domains or just like use a tool like Namelix that helps you come up with like ideas for domain names. And I kind of built like some Airbnb clones recently. So just over the Christmas holiday, I registered this domain, movetogreece.com. And it's basically like a booking site, but I wanted to create something for digital nomads and long-term travelers where they wouldn't have to compete with all of these like, you know, tourists that are coming to countries for like a week or something. And I basically use AI to get the domain, I basically purchased a theme off ThemeForest, WordPress theme. It's got like the booking platform in there. And I use AI to do all the artwork, all the design, all the blog posts. I probably have maybe 200 blog posts on there in just like over a month and a half. And they're already ranking for search terms and stuff like this. So I was basically able to just like using AI build out this whole idea in like a weekend. So pretty much like it's amazing how AI can just help us accomplish like 10 times more or do what we used to do 10 times faster. And now the struggle is like my human self is like the weakest link now, and I need to get like more energy to perceive all of this stuff, you know? So
oh, totally. Yeah, like I've been using AI a lot. Well, I use it basically every day, like from last year where I tried out some things, and then I was like, ah, oh, this output is like kind of garbage. And so I didn't use a lot of it. But then I started to like incrementally think, well, I'll test out this or test out that, you know, starting with the silly questions and stuff like that. I'm not a person to like go into like, here's prompts that you need. Like, I don't really explore stuff that way. So I've just kind of did it organically. But it's now gotten to the point where I use it every day for an assistant for almost every task. And one of the cool ways that I'm using it is for the summit that we're putting together, the AI Writing Summit. Is I'm using it I created like the template for it. I had it help me create a template for the guest interviews. And then I filled it in with some content and had it flesh it out. And then I basically created like a guest interview packet. So now when I get the submission from somebody in a calendar link, I just copy and paste over to ChatGPT and say, create an interview packet for me. Something that I had to do when I was running other summits, you have to do by hand. And that would take you like 15, 20 minutes to do. Now it's done in like a minute. And then I just review it to make sure there's nothing crazy. And oftentimes like the stuff that's bad is like the questions are usually not really worded very well. So I usually like reword those a little bit. But I'm telling you, like that takes me 1 or 2 minutes. So again, all of a sudden you're like, well, 15 minutes isn't a lot of time, Tom. But you times that by 10, 20, 30, 50. And it becomes a lot of time that you could spend on anything else. And so AI right there is literally a multiplier. It's like a 10x multiplier for that just that one facet. And I'm using it in a lot of really small things like that. Like I haven't used it to totally build out a website, but I have used it to build out sales pages. And we have converted. We built a membership site, and I did something similar to what you're saying, not a whole website, but we built out the sales page, and we have now over like 120 or 130 members, paying members monthly for this new membership site that I did. That's just what you're describing. I used AI to create the images. I used AI to write the copy. I did some tweaking and editing, of course, but like basically, again, something that would have taken me probably 1 to 2 days. So that's 16 hours of time to do completely and to do well. I was able to do in hours. So again, it is when you say 10X, it's kind of a 10Xer, right? It really is a multiplier in that capacity. When you start to think about like these little things, even just to get that rough draft done that would have taken so long from blank page, you now can start with the rough draft and then edit. It's literally crazy how good it is. And I know so many people, probably 90% of people even listening to this, probably 90% aren't using it right now. So anyway, those are just my thoughts on AI. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, so I think a lot of people kind of have their heads in the sand, you know, like worrying like it's going to replace me, it's going to take my job. And I don't even think like that at all. I guess maybe it's the entrepreneurial gene in me, but I'm looking through the other end of the telescope. I want to see like how we can use it to create more freedom, you know, more wealth, more abundance. And I did go to like a lot of AI meetups in different locations, and I kind of got the sense that it's kind of like the discovery of fire, you know, tens of thousands of years ago. Like people understand how significant it is, but like,
oh, look at all really the things. Look at all the things I can do with this. Like I can burn this and burn that, and right. And it's like I can heat this, and I can use it to make food and build weapons. And like you're like, oh yeah, man, you can do a lot with it, right? Fire is a good analogy.
Yeah, and I was at this meetup in Chiang Mai in Thailand, which is like full of digital nomads, and
yeah, I
that was
for a
kind
bit,
of the sense like that I got. Yeah, it's a great place, but that was the sense I got at this meetup was like, oh, like this is AI and this is a new tool that I discovered, and these are some prompts that somebody's sharing with us. It's like nobody really knew what to make of it, you know? Like we knew it's a big deal, and they want to be around it, but they don't really know how to use it in practical ways. And so that's really what I'm trying to do, like tinker away at it. And I look at it kind of like a genie in the bottle. It just like grants whatever wish you desire. And I, you know, going all the way back to like when I was in like seventh grade, I always wished that I had like a clone of myself to just like hand off all the homework to. And I wouldn't have to, I could just like sleep or play video games and not have to deal with it. But finally that dream has come to life. They say that whatever idea you have in your head, you eventually manifest. So I guess I manifested that one. I don't want to take credit for AI though. But going back to what you said about, you know, like writing, using ChatGPT or AI to write your marketing copy, I have found that I kind of have like some guidelines that maybe I can just share with people to make your content sound less robotic. What I found is that, especially when I produce a lot of content, like AI does a really good job when it comes to articles, like the meat of the articles, you know, like the lists, the destinations in Greece, or, you know, the stories. But it does a lot of things like really generic and kind of, it's like a dead giveaway that it's written by AI. So especially like in the introduction and the conclusion, I like to really make sure that I add the human touch. Because it often uses like the same phrases, like let's embark on this journey to discover this, or and I try to like you know, like shorten the sentences, vary the length of the sentences. It writes a lot of like long sentences with like run-ons and commas. I like to inject like some, you know, snappiness, some personality, some wit into the sentences. In copywriting, they have a term called bucket brigade phrases, which are like, you know, just like really short, like colloquial phrases and things. And I always make sure the writing, and I'm a writer, and this is just a rule that I follow. I will switch all of the verbs like to the active, the present tense, because it makes the writing more interesting. And ChatGPT doesn't do like a very good job with this. No. It'll say like understanding this and blah, 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 blah. It sounds almost like a term paper. So I'll just like change that to the active tense, the present tense, kind of like more like I'm speaking to, you know, directly to you.
I love that. Yeah.
And so those are just some ways to make it sound less robotic and more like an actual human.
Yeah. And would you say that over time, that it, do you feel like it's getting better? Do you feel like it's getting worse? Do you feel like there's ups and downs over time? Like when the output is better or worse? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I know that there's probably people that know about this better than me, and I know that there's new language models coming out like Claude 3. I forget the full name of it. It just came out yesterday. So there are people that basically analyze this stuff for a living. I will say that I typically I don't start with just the prompts, in a blank canvas. I will use some extensions like AIPRM, for example. It's like a free extension. And it has all the prompts kind of hard coded in there, and so you can like basically give AI like the topic of the post, and it'll just write the article for you. Or there's some other tools like Glass. It's another extension where you can basically transcribe any YouTube video and send it to ChatGPT. So you basically have an expert chiming in on the content right from the get-go.
That's cool.
And so that kind of like helps me to formulate the content a little bit better and kind of feed it better ideas. Starting with stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it does make a lot of mistakes, I've found. But when it comes to like a side hustle, like this Move to Greece project, I don't want to have like a lot of direct input over the content itself. I want to focus more on like the big picture, my goals, and getting traffic and monetizing the site. Because if I know that I'm probably the weakest link if I try to like, look like Hemingway in my articles or something like this. I kind of have to systemize it as best I can.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, that's the one thing I feel like I've noticed from all the talks for the AI Writing Summit and all the work we're doing for that, and just my own experiences with it. It's definitely imperfect, and you have to just say, well, given imperfect outputs, what can you do with that still? And that's where my head's at with everything. It's like it's just a very good assistant for a lot of things, and I know I still have to look over my assistant's work. You know what I mean? And so again, I have it do things that I wouldn't have an assistant, a VA, or anyone else do anyway, because it just probably wouldn't, the juice wouldn't be worth the squeeze on it. But with AI, I can kind of put something in, it can spit something out really quickly. I can iterate ideas very quickly. So for those who are listening, if you're not using AI, there's probably a use case for you of where it could be fun, can be helpful. And I do think ChatGPT, even the free one, can kind of it really is that. That's like the that's the gateway drug, I think. It's easy. You can start it. You can start with it. You can test it out to see. But yeah, I guess that would be my thoughts to those who are not actively using it, because they're not, maybe they're not wired like you or I to like go explore these new things and go find like entrepreneurial use cases. But to say, maybe how can I just add this to my workflow a little bit? Like, it's crazy. Just if you have an idea of how maybe it could help, just try it out. See what comes. That would be my best advice. Just experiment with it, like play with it, like it's a toy, and spend like 15 or 20 minutes with it, like once or twice a week, just to see what happens. And I think from there you'll start to see, oh wow, this can do some stuff. There's just test it to see what comes out. But there's a lot of cool new AI tools, like Perplexity AI is another one I like to use a lot now in my writing. Have you heard of that one, Dan?
Yeah, I have heard of that one. I wanted to add something to what you just said.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to really get their hands dirty, I would encourage them to just like register a domain, maybe even like a side hustle project, find like an expired domain on expired domains on net or something. Register a website that you just don't care about, that you just and experiment with like putting 600 AI SEO articles on there. And see what happens. Get your hands dirty, get some experience, because that will put you ahead of 98% of people.
100%.
If you just find like one of these like throwaway domains and just build it, and then you put like 600, 700 articles on there, and suddenly after a year, you're getting like 20,000 visitors a month or something like that, and then you can sell that on one of these domain brokers, and the experience that you get from that is just invaluable.
I really want to do that. I feel like I have literally too many plates, and I have to tell myself, don't do it, because I want to so bad. Like, that is what you're describing is exactly the use case. Like, if this was like 10 years ago and this was just starting, that would have been absolutely one of my side hustles. Because I think it is. It's you can't buy a new domain, get a new domain, go start it totally from scratch, go pick a pot, a niche or an interest that you find maybe interesting or whatever. And with AI, just say like, I'm going to make this a game where I'm going to use AI for every component of this and just play with it and explore it. To me, that sounds like such a fun activity, and with very minimal downside risk. Like, if anything,
well, I'm beaming with pride because I just successfully pitched Tom Marcus on his own podcast. You know?
Oh, 100%, 100%. I gotta free up some time. So maybe later this year, we'll see. We'll see where I'm at after the AI Writing Summit. But I'm excited.
There are some good there are some good YouTube channels out there for where people are like kind of experimenting with like AI SEO. There's one guy, Julian Goldie, who's got a lot of videos. So you could check out his YouTube channel. Maybe you can interview him on a podcast. And a whole bunch of others out there who are just like experimenting with all the new AI tools and such. So I try to keep up to date with a lot of stuff, but a lot of it's coming all the time. Another website is blackhatworld.com. Do you know that one, Tom?
I'm not familiar, no.
So Black Hat World is all just like, Black Hat marketing tactics and such. So I subscribe to their newsletter and I occasionally get like emails about, case studies in AI or people trading crypto and Bitcoin and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guides, like how somebody made their first like 10,000 with AI and affiliate marketing or something like this. So I would definitely check that out and subscribe to their newsletter. They send it out about once a week and it provides a lot of like interesting case studies and ways to make money.
I love it. Well, Danny, before we wrap up, where can people reach out to find you, connect with you, learn more about you? Where's the best place for people to go?
So I have a gift for your listeners, actually, if they want to. I have a whole list of like AI tools that they can download. They can go get that for free. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but they can also go to schoolofgrowthhacking.com. And we have a number of trainings on there for growth hacking, for making money with AI, lots of really good stuff on there. And I can also create a discount code for your listeners if they want to go and sign up for the membership.
Yeah,
and they can awesome. Also get in touch with me if they want to contact
me. Awesome.
So, I'll put all the you can just contact Danny at schoolofgrowthhacking.com or look me up on social media. It's Dan Dan Flood.
Awesome. I love it. Well, Danny, thank you so much for joining us on In the Trenches. Always a pleasure to catch up. Crazy to see where you've been and where you're going in these last 8 years. Hopefully we'll do this again and it won't take 8 years. We'll do it. Maybe we'll do a catch up in the next year or two and just see where things are at. But it's always a pleasure to talk to you and to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's fun. Thank you. And maybe you can come join us in Nepal sometime too, or in Greece.
Dude,
or your listeners as well.
Yes, I'm putting it on my bucket list. All right, Danny, thank you so much, man. Take care.
Take care. You too.
And that wraps up another broadcast of In the Trenches. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a rating review. Just go to tommorcus.com/iTunes, and that'll take you to iTunes where you can leave a 5-star rating review. And that really helps spread the word about this podcast. And finally, if you need help growing your online business or generating new traffic, leads, and sales at a profit, reach out to me at tom@tommorcus.com or head over to the website tommorcus.com and sign up for the free newsletter. That's it for today. Stay frosty.